I think that you guys should be able to turn your video on. It was, I think, blocked again to start, but
Oh, okay.
it should be open.
There we go. Yeah.
There we go.
Right.
Right. And then we are at 9 o'clock and BCAT is on, so we are recording.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Walston. Good morning, everyone. Today is Thursday morning, about 9 a.m., December 10th, 2020. I'm Susan Drummond, Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today, we have just two agenda items on the docket. The first is agenda item A, which is the Four Seasons preliminary plat, and that is followed by agenda item B, which is the Coombs conditional use permit for an accessory dwelling unit. The order of procedure on both of these matters will be as follows. We'll hear first from the planning department. I believe Ms. Santos is presenting for the department this morning to provide an overview of the project, and the applicant will have an opportunity to present, and we'll open up the matter for public comment. Anyone who is present and wishes to comment on either proposal may do so, and then the applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions which arise. And I may have questions as well, although both of these matters look relatively straightforward, and I have reviewed the staff report and the attached exhibits on both of those. This is a remote hearing due to the response to the COVID-19 situation. If there are any technical difficulties, if you can alert us as soon as possible, but do not use the chat feature for submitting anything substantive. I don't have access to that and can't accept any comments. That way, the chat feature is only for technical comments. Are there any procedural questions at this point? Okay, hearing none, we will go ahead and proceed with agenda item A. Ms. Santos, was I correct in that? Are you presenting on the preliminary plat?
That's correct.
Okay, good morning. If you could state your name for the record.
Latasha Santos.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. And as mentioned, I do have the staff report and then exhibits. I think it's 1 through 45.
Okay, great. I'm going to share my presentation. All right, so good morning again. My name is Latasha Santos, planner with Kitsap County's Department of Community Development. And I'm before you today to present a preliminary plat proposal to subdivide a 4.45 acre parcel into 35 single family residential lots. The project is known as the Four Seasons preliminary plat. The subject site is addressed at 1309 Warner Avenue Southeast in Port Orchard. This is in South Kitsap, Commissioner District Number 2. The site is within the Urban Low Zoning District and is within the Port Orchard Urban Growth Area. Adjacent properties share similar Urban Low Zoning. And to the north, at the boundary of the urban growth area, there are rural residential lots shown in green. To the south, primarily commercial zoning exists, shown in red. And the city of Port Orchard boundary is to the west, approximately 1,700 feet, and that's shown in gray. The site is rectangularly shaped. It measures approximately 325 by 625 feet. An abandoned residence is located in the southeast corner of the property. And the remainder of the site is covered with primarily grass and forested areas. Overall, the slopes across the site are gentle, with an overall elevation change of approximately 20 feet. Surrounding properties vary in sizes and are primarily developed with single family residences or remain undeveloped. With this proposal, the applicant is proposing to subdivide that site into 35 residential lots. The proposal includes public roadways, recreational space, on-street parking, and an underground infiltration facility for stormwater management. A single access is proposed on Warner Avenue Southeast, and it's proposed to be dedicated as public right-of-way. The preliminary lot layout can be seen on your screen, which is included as Exhibit 37, and the applicant is proposing public sewer and water through West Sound Utility District. This is a requirement in urban areas per Title 16 of the Kitsap County Code. And a sewer main will be extended from an existing manhole in Southeast Hortzman Street to the north of the plat. And the existing water main in Warner Avenue Southeast is going to be replaced and extended to the site. The applicant has submitted water and sewer availability letters, and West Sound Utility District does confirm feasibility for this. Final binding letters will be required with the site development activity permit. Waste management is proposed to serve the development for solid waste disposal. As mentioned, the site is within the urban low zoning district. Specific density and dimension requirements are shown on your screen, and the project was found to meet these. The minimum density for the site is 5, or in this case, based on the size of the site, 16 single family units are the minimum density requirement. The maximum density is 9 or 40 units. The proposal is for 35 units, which is consistent with these standards. And the minimum lot size allowed in the zone is 2,400 square feet, and the smallest proposed parcel is 3,400 square feet. The maximum lot size in the zone allowed is 9,000 square feet, and the largest proposed parcel is 5,049 square feet. Minimum lot widths and depths are also met. The department did receive comments with concerns to proposed density. The commenters felt that the density was too high for the neighborhood, but the department does not recommend that the applicant be required to reduce their density. This is supported not only by the zoning code allowances, but the comprehensive plan as well. As mentioned, the subject site is within the urban growth area, and designated UGAs are specifically intended to accommodate the majority of the 20 years population growth. And this is based on official growth management forecasts adopted by the state of Washington. Moving on to other design standards, landscaping, a preliminary landscaping plan was also submitted, and it shows landscaping at entrances, and street trees are proposed along street frontages. A final detailed landscaping plan isn't required at the preliminary proposal state, but it will be required when the applicant applies for their site development activity permit. And at that time, full compliance with landscaping standards will be required to be illustrated. These standards are found in Title 16 and 17 in various places in the code, but at a high level include 15% of the total total site to be landscaped, a solid screening buffer around overground storm facilities or utilities, a partial screening buffer along the entrance of the site, and street trees along Warner Avenue and internal roads. And lastly, proposed landscaping within the open space recreational tract. Again, the department did receive comments requesting additional landscape buffers be required along the site perimeter. However, this is only required when abutting a rural zone, and the site does not abut a rural zone. So the department doesn't recommend requiring additional screening buffers except at and the entrance to the development. Title 16 also requires the proposal to provide a minimum of 390 square feet of recreational open space per unit. For the 35 lot proposal, that requires 13,650 square feet. And tract A is reserved as a recreational open space tract, and it's measured at 13,682 feet, meeting the size requirement. A preliminary landscape plan was provided showing additional details of the open space area, which is shown on your screen. And a final open space plan will be required at site development activity permit to ensure compliance with all of the design, location, and amenity standards. And just to note, the storm facility is proposed within the open space tract, but it's located underground at approximately 6.9 feet, and stormwater runoff will be conveyed to it underground as well. It's just a note to just kind of understand that the proposed recreation facility location doesn't propose a threat to the functionality of the storm system. A preliminary drainage plan was also submitted with the application. Stormwater quantity is proposed to be controlled via a system of catch basins and pipes that collect runoff from the roadways, sidewalks, and landscaped areas and convey it to an underground infiltration gallery. Stormwater quality is proposed to be provided by directing any pollution generating runoff into a storm filter manhole prior to entering the infiltration gallery. And the facility is proposed to be publicly maintained, and staff recommends condition 31 to ensure public rights to access and maintain the facility are upheld. Again, staff received public comment regarding concerns to the storm facility. Comments expressed concerns about the facility potentially becoming a habitable space for vermin or other undesirable bacteria. And normally we see these concerns with pond type systems, but this system is all underground and not generally accessible to animals. Further, the system, because it's proposed to be publicly maintained, will be maintained by Kitsap County's Public Works Storm Division annually and as needed. The proposal was also reviewed for compliance with applicable access, traffic, and road standards. These standards are found in various locations in Title 16 and 17. At a very high level, dedication of the proposed roads is required. Also, road connectivity, alignment, and coordination is required. The department did receive a comment with concern that the proposal was directly aligned with the street across Warner Avenue to the west. And the department just wants to note that that is considered desirable and required by code to align for vehicle safety and other things. The proposed streets, another requirement is that the proposed streets be adequate to anticipated traffic. And the applicant provided a traffic impact analysis and found that the project's estimated to generate approximately 29 a.m. peak hour trips and 36 p.m. peak hour trips. And that report does assume full build out and full occupancy, and it forecasts no operational deficiencies. The report recommended no additional mitigation for traffic be required beyond impact fees, which will be required at the time of each building permit. Kitsap County Public Works Traffic Division and DCD's traffic reviewers reviewed all of these documents and the traffic impact analysis and agrees with not requiring any additional traffic mitigation. Lastly, the department does have the authority to require transit facilities where a need is determined. There are 4 transit facilities located nearby, and those are indicated as stars on the above site plan. There are 2 each at this intersection, so the department is not requiring that additional transit facilities be required. This image shows a snippet of the Kitsap County Critical Areas map. There are actually no critical areas on site. The included staff report incorrectly stated that the site was within a critical aquifer recharge area. But as you can see, the aquifer recharge areas are shown in green and they do not extend to this site. So that's one correction in the staff report that should be noted.
Okay.
The project was subject to SEPA environmental review and a determination of non-significance was issued on 11/25/2020. And the appeal period did pass yesterday on December 9th, 2020, and no appeals were filed. So the SEPA determination is final. And that is an update to the staff report, which the SEPA appeal period hadn't passed at that time.
Anything further, Ms. Santos?
I think it's just a couple slides left.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. There's a pause there. So,
yeah. We did provide public notice through a notice of application, which was distributed on 10/22/2019. It provided project information and the opportunity for public comments. We received multiple comments, which were previously discussed and detailed in the staff report. But the project was found to meet the standards outlined in 16.40.030 for preliminary subdivisions and is found to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, compliant with applicable codes and regulations, and compatible with the surrounding area with no detrimental characteristics. Staffer recommends approval of the project with the 54 conditions outlined in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Santos. I do not have any questions for you at this time. Is the applicant online? Ms. Walston, if the applicant is muted, if we could.
So is the applicant, are we looking for Matt? Oh, there we go, Matt Weber. Okay, just one second. I will move him over. Okay, Mr. Weber, you should be able to unmute and turn your camera on.
Good morning, Mr. Weber. Are you representing the applicant today?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, my name's Matt Weber. I'm a civil engineer with AHBL in Tacoma, Washington.
You swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you.
With me is also Sherry Green. She also works with me at AHBL. She was helping me with the planning, so she might give testimony also.
Okay, we'll hear from you, and then if she is going to testify, I'll swear her in as well at that point.
And if you could just speak up just a little bit, Mr. Weber, our audio is a little low.
Okay, I'll try to talk louder.
Thank you.
I don't have too much to add to Tasha. She did a great job and I appreciate everything she did there. I have read the staff report and the SEPA, and the applicant is in agreement with everything that was stated previously. Maybe there was just, I'm going to jump right into one small detail in the staff report in the recommended conditions of approval,
mm-hmm.
which would be number 24. The way it's worded, it says the application indicates that a significant quantity of grading material may be exported from the site. And then typically this means 5 or more trucks leaving the site per hour. Because of this, a vehicle wheel wash must be included as an element of the siltation erosion control plan. I'd like to request just to take away the word must and add and replace it with the word may. At the moment, the grading plan, the preliminary plans are showing about 1,000 yards of export. The total grading cut to fill is about 5,000 cubic yards with an excess of 1,000 cubic yards. So Tasha is not wrong in recommending that condition. However, during final design, my intent is to balance the site so there wouldn't be that 1,000 yards of export. And so the wheel wash may not be required.
Okay. Well, it may be able to determine that sort of issue during the S-step review of site development activity permit. So I'll check with Ms. Santos on that.
Other than that, I really don't have anything else to add other than if you have any questions. Just one thing, and we did have a hearing on the two parcels just to the, I guess it would be the south, called Parkside Lane.
Right.
And this is the same owner. So I don't know if the two projects would be built at the same time, but that is kind of our hope. So I guess I just thought I'd add that. Even though they are two separate complete projects, they're not contiguous.
Okay. Thank you. No, I do not have any questions. And that was the only concern that you had with the proposed conditions that are outlined in the staff report?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Ms. Santos, any concern with deferring that determination on the vehicle wash to the SDAP phase? Just making that clarification that was requested by the applicant?
No, I don't see an issue with rephrasing it to be determined at SDAP. If the project is under those thresholds and it's not needed, then that makes sense.
So it could be determined later.
Yeah.
All right. Ms. Green, did you want to add anything this morning? I know your name was mentioned, but.
I don't believe so. I'd just like to thank Tasha for taking the project over pretty late in the review period. She did a great job.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. I believe there may be a couple individuals online who wanted to testify. Ms. Walston, if you could unmute the line so we can have the public provide input.
Sure, I have a few folks here.
And Ms. Walston, if you can see their names, you can call them up. If not, I'll just ask them to speak up.
So I don't see anyone with a hand raised. I've got, Mr. Beveridge.
Okay. We can start with him first.
Actually, I'm not sure if. Zoom is a little slow and okay, there we go. Mr. Beveridge, did you have a comment to make? I wasn't quite sure if you're.
He may need to unmute himself on his end.
Maybe he's here for the second item then.
So if there is anyone who wanted to comment on this preliminary plat proposal, if you could go ahead and speak up.
Or if you're not able to do that, you can also hit, you can raise your hand. Use the icon to raise your hand. If for some reason it's not unmuting, but I'm not seeing anything, so.
Okay. Well, it sounds like there's not anyone from the public who wanted to testify this morning. I am, of course, on all of these matters that we're hearing remotely, I am keeping the record open for a week, just in case there was anyone who did want to testify and for whatever reason, a technical difficulty calling in. We haven't actually had an issue with all of these remote hearings, but nevertheless, we've followed that procedure. So I will keep the record open on this. So today's the 10th. So that would be the close of business 5 p.m. on the 17th. And anyone may provide comment, whether that's from the county, the applicant, or citizens. And then those comments would be forwarded on to me. Please provide those to Ms. Walston. She will forward those on. I do not have any questions for either planning department or applicant. Is there anything else that either the applicant or Ms. Santos that you perhaps forgot to mention and wanted to?
No, nothing further.
Okay. And then Mr. Weber, are anything else, or is that?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yeah, I don't have anything further. I think Mr. Beveridge was actually a representative from Capstone Homes, my client.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't know if he has anything to add, but okay.
All right, that's fine. As I mentioned, record will be kept open for a week, and then my decision will be out within 10 business days of that, and it will be provided to Ms. Walston, and she will circulate it to the parties. Okay, so with that, we will move on to our next matter. And Mr. Weber, we are done with your matter. You and Ms. Green and Mr. I think it was
Mr. Beveridge.
Yes, welcome to stay online to view that, but no requirement to do so.
Okay, we'll leave, but thank you very much.
Yep. Okay, so we're moving on to agenda item B. This is a conditional use permit request for an accessory dwelling unit proposed by the Coombs, I believe. And Ms. Santos, I believe you are presenting on this as well. You remain under oath. And I have also reviewed the staff report exhibits on this, 1 through 34.
Okay. Are you able to see this clearly?
I can, yes.
Okay. Yeah. All right, again, good morning. My name is Latasha Santos, planner with Kitsap County Department of Community Development. And this project is a conditional use permit to construct an 884 square foot accessory dwelling unit, or ADU, at 13500 Olympic Drive Southeast in Olalla, Washington. The subject site is located in South Kitsap, Commissioner District Number 2. The site is within the Rural Protection Zoning District, and Kitsap County Code Title 17 states accessory dwelling units are allowed in this zone with an approved conditional use permit. The properties surrounding the subject site maintain similar rural zoning. Olympic Drive Southeast abuts the eastern property line, and State Route 16 abuts the property's western property line. The surrounding properties are varying sizes and primarily are developed with single family residences or remain undeveloped. The site is developed with an existing single family residence shown kind of at the center northern part of the parcel. This structure is the subject of the conditional use permit approval, and the applicant is requesting to convert this structure into an ADU. A new single family residence is currently under construction and will become the primary residence on site. There's an existing driveway access off of Olympic Drive, and no new access is proposed. Exhibit 26 is is the critical areas map of Kitsap County. You'll see various features are mapped. However, since the structure is already constructed and it was already reviewed for compliance with Kitsap County's critical areas ordinance and no new work is proposed, there are no additional critical areas concerns. The submitted site plan shown on your screen and included in the record as Exhibit 28 show the project is served by a private well and on-site sewage septic system. And the health district approved the proposal for water and sewage disposal at the time the structure was constructed. And the site plan shows that the structure meets the zoning setbacks as well. There are no other ADUs, mobile homes, recreational vehicles, accessory living quarters, or guest houses present or proposed. And the owner will reside in the new single family residence under construction. And the two structures measure approximately 70 feet away from each other, meeting the requirement that they be within 150 feet of each other. A parking area for four spaces is provided near the ADU, meeting the parking requirements in KCC 17.400. And the size requirement of an ADU is 50% of the habitable space of the primary structure or 900 square feet, whichever is less. The applicant has already taken this into consideration when they knew that this structure was being built as an ADU. The structure is 884 square feet under the 900 threshold that is applicable to this site. And these floor plans just show that the single family residence measures over 2000 square feet. So the 900 square foot limitation is the limiting factor. It also shows that there are no accessory living quarters within the primary residence. And this is just a floor plan of the ADU showing that it's under the 900 square foot limitation. The code requires that the ADU is designed to maintain the appearance of the primary residence, and elevations are provided on your screen showing that both structures will have hardy style siding, contrasting whiteboard trim, composite roofing, and similar slope roofs integrated into the design. Integration of shed style roof dormers on the SFR are designed to match the shed style roof on the ADU. And this project was found to meet all of the applicable codes and regulations for ADUs. It's consistent with a comprehensive plan, compatible with the surrounding area with no detrimental characteristics, and staff recommends approval of this project subject to the conditions noted in the staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Santos. I do not have any questions. Is the applicant online?
Yes, let me go ahead and move Mr. Combs over.
Okay.
Mr. Combs, you should be able to turn on your camera and unmute. There we go.
All right.
Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Could you state your name for the record?
Charlie Combs.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wanted to add to staff's summary of your proposal?
I don't think so. Ms. Santos covered it really well. Yeah, it is an already constructed, and I built it approximately almost 5 years ago with the intent of this project. As of now, I'm looking forward to moving outside of an 884 square foot house. I think that's about it.
Yeah, I can understand. Do you have, the only question I have for you is just whether you had any concerns with the proposed conditions that are in this outlined in the staff report.
I don't think so. As I was looking through them, even in review for this meeting, I think there are only two that aren't yet met, which is the land use binder and maybe one other one that I haven't accomplished yet. All the permits are fully paid for and impact fees are already paid for and construction has begun on the other residents as covered. So I, that's the only one, one of the only ones I still haven't finished. Okay. I had brought with Ms. Santos earlier, but about the fact that my other permit says that all other structures have to be demolished, and my assumption is this will then wipe out that requirement on my new single-family residence. permit and replace it with basically this conditional use permit that allows the other structure.
Okay, that was a language on a building permit, and then then you had to come in and get this permit in order to deal with that language.
Yeah,
that wouldn't be my assumption as well, because then this would be authorized. And Ms. Santos, anything to the contrary on that? It sounds like that's kind of what happened there, is that because of that language, the applicant then had to come in and get this permit, and then that takes care of that condition.
That's
that
your
understanding? Okay, that's planning department's understanding as well. So, okay. Thank you. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone online who would like to testify on this proposal? And Ms. Walston, if you could unmute the line to allow for comment, if there is anyone.
All right. My universal unmute doesn't seem to be working, but I'm going to go ahead and just check. I've got Stephanie Foster. Ms. Foster, if you wanted to comment, you should be able to unmute and provide comment. If not, that's okay.
If there is anyone out there who wanted to comment, just either use the chat feature or speak up. Nope. Okay. Let the record reflect that there's not anyone from the public who has indicated a wish to comment. Nevertheless, just because of the remote nature of the hearing, we are keeping the record open for a week. So the record will be open through December 17th, close of business 5 p.m. If there are any comments from applicant, planning department, or citizens, those should be submitted to Ms. Walston. She'll forward those on to me. Otherwise, I do not see any issues or concerns with this proposal. I'll wait and make a final decision until after the record closes, but I've not identified any code compliance issues with it. So, and that written decision, of course, will be out within 10 business days of the close of the record, but probably sooner than that. So any procedural questions either from you, Ms. Santos, or from the applicant, Mr. Coombs?
None from me.
Mr. Coombs?
Only question I'd ask is, can I take the sign down that's on my driveway, or do I leave it up till the end of the comment period?
Oh, the new sign?
Yeah, it should be left up until the end of the appeal period.
Okay.
I doubt there will be appeal on this, given there hasn't been any comment. But yeah, I guess it's probably best to follow the protocols on there.
It makes me feel like I've done something wrong.
I can understand. So. All right. Is there anything else that I need to address this morning, Ms. Walston, or have we covered everything?
I think that covers everything.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, thank you all for your participation. We are adjourned.
Thank you.